Blog Talk Radio.
Last night I saw a lunar eclipse in the sky. Then something happened in my mind's eye. I saw you in a whole different light. Clearly, really, it's not that I want you to change. It's more that I want you to stay the same.
Oh, and I really do want you to stay the same. I want you to stay right here with me for the next hour. I'm Bonnie D. Graham, a.k.a. Radio Red, and yes, we are. We had a touch-up. What can I tell you? Got to do it once in a while. For the next hour, I'd like you to stick with me for a program I call Read My Lips. And you know you can't see me or my guests, so you're just going to have to listen really carefully. I pride myself on bringing you very interesting people, very smart people, an array of topics. For some strange coincidence today, all three, actually four of my guests, because one guest is actually a couple, all of my guests are more or less on the same topic. So I'm calling this the health show, the health edition. We're going to talk about, ladies, if like one of my guests, Kathy Brown, you were born in high heels or born to wear high heels, you're going to want to know what happened to your legs, what happened to your Achilles heel, why are you having trouble with sports, and what should you do about it? We're going to do the high heel challenge with Dr. Bob Weil, the sports medicine doctor. He's got his own radio show. You'll hear about it in a minute. Then we're going to move to Mark and Kathy Brown. They have studied the problems with our culture. We no longer move around like we did in the old days. We are sedentary. We sit. We don't stretch. We don't exercise. We have a lot of physical problems because of that. And they looked at it and said, well, everybody's sitting. Why don't we teach them to do exercises while they're in a chair? Brilliant idea. Good book. We'll go through a couple of exercises, and all of you listening at home, in the office, maybe not so much in the car, you can practice along with Mark and Kathy Brown. Second half of the show, we're going to welcome Esther Gokhale. I'm going to spell it because you would never guess in a million years. G-O-K-H-A-L-E. It looks like Gokhale. It's Gokhale. Esther is a well-traveled lady. Her book is absolutely gorgeous. If I tell you gorgeous, we're talking coffee table gift book gorgeous. It's called 8 Steps to a Pain-Free Back. Remember when it didn't hurt. And Esther will tell you her story about how she had serious, severe back pain for years. She traveled the world looking at, similar to Kathy and Mark Brown, what happened to us as a culture, as a civilization? Did we always have back pain? No, not at all. Certain parts of the world, people do hard labor, bending over in the fields, bending over a pottery wheel in their 80s, and they don't have back pain like we do. We complain all the time. They don't. Why? They know how to sit. They know how to stand. They know how to walk. There are lessons learned from when tribes passed it from one to the other. We don't have those tribes anymore. So Esther Gokhale designed her method, but the book is absolutely gorgeous. If you don't even have back pain, you want to look at the pictorial of people around the world and how they stand and how they walk. It's a beautiful book. So let me quickly do my shout-outs here, because you know that's what I have to do before we bring on Dr. Bob. I can hear him rustling papers in the background, dying to come on talk about high heels. I hear he's never worn them, but he's a specialist, so we'll find out. Okay, I do my shout-outs, as always, to my beautiful Lorna, my Dune, Mr. Monk, Stephen, Kaylee, my beautiful sister, my big kahuna tag, the artist, my dancer, my violinist artist, and, of course, Dr. Pepper. Laura, how you doing? I hope that resume is making the rounds. Somebody's going to want you. Melissa and Andrew, hello, and hugs to my sweetheart, AZ. Movie reviews. I don't know if I told you last week. I saw Captain Phillips gripping, gripping, gripping. Don't read the backstory until after you see the movie. It might not have the impact. And Saturday night, I saw Last Vegas. Expected a bomb, a dud, but please, Morgan Freeman, Michael Douglas, Robert De Niro, Kevin Kline. Put them together with Mary Steenburgen. Put them in Las Vegas. Have a fun ride. It was hysterical. I was not the only one laughing literally out loud in the theater. We all laughed at the same time to the phenomenal jokes. It's colorful. It's fun. It has a morality tale, but you know what? It's worth the ride just to see the four guys together in Vegas doing what they do best. Acting great. And let's see what else. Oh, November 4th, famous birthdays. Tons of them. Sean P. Diddy Combs, rapper, hip-hop, oh, you know who he is, born today in 1970. Matthew McConaughey, they did a skit on Saturday Night Live where they had six Matthew McConaugheys come on the set to point out that they don't have any black females on the cast of SNL. They tried to poke the finger in their own eye. It misfired a little, but Kerry Washington from Scandal was an amazing host. What a comedian, never knew. Today also, 1963, born Andrea McArdle. I think that was Annie. Ralph Macchio, we all know who he is. Marky Post, an actress born in 1950. Laura W. Bush, wife of George W. Born in 1946 today. Loretta Swit, remember her Hot Lips? Yes, from MASH. Doris Roberts, born today. My God, what a list. How about all you beer fans? Alfred Heineken was born in 1923 today. Happy birthday, Alfred. Hope the foam is rising for you. Martin Balsam, the actor. Cameron Mitchell, the actor. Art Carney, the actor. Gig Young, the actor. Walter Cronkite, anchor and news correspondent, born in 1916. Pauline Trigère, the French fashion designer. I went to college with her granddaughter, Janie. And Will Rogers was born today in 1879. That's it for shout-outs. Dr. Bob, I know you're dying to talk to us about high heels. How are you, Dr. Bob Weil?
Well, Bonnie, thank you very much for inviting me on the show. I'm excited about it. Glad to add whatever knowledge and insight we might into that challenging topic. Glad to be here.
Thank you. Well, let's talk about SJP, Sarah Jessica Parker, Sex and the City. My God, what gorgeous shoes she wears. What beautiful legs she has. Oh, my word. But she's paying a price. She has paid a price in her life. And as a matter of fact, in a little article you wrote, Dr. Bob, about surviving high heels, accepting the challenge, you said Sarah Jessica Parker recently commented, "If I only knew then what I know now." I'm trying to do an impersonation. "If I only knew then what
Pretty
I
good.
Know now."
Pretty
you,
good.
Maybe
you have
I would
her shoes
have
on?
I don't. Maybe I would have cooled it a little with all those heels, but she sure looked great. So talk to me. What's the problem, Dr. Bob? What are we doing to our legs when we wear, to our feet when we wear those gorgeous heels?
We all know that wearing high heels, they used to call it the root of the dashing commuter when I grew up on Long Island. There were all the women running for the train in their gym shoes, carrying their dress shoes. Of course, then I didn't know I'd be a sports medicine podiatrist. So we're all familiar with the problems of jamming the foot in a shoe and then raising the heel and changing the whole postural alignment. So from a positive point of view, we've come up with methods to train for heels, things like strengthening the feet and ankles, doing some exercise with our core. Imagine yourself balancing on one of those BOSU boards like a mini tram and using some rubber band exercises, and to be able to know what type of padding works. See a podiatrist. Women who have, you know, corns, calluses, hammer toes, bunions, believe me, know what I'm talking about when it comes to trying to tolerate these shoes. But we do see a lot of women, Bonnie, who are very active. They're athletic. They also are quite dressy. And sometimes we'll see foot and ankle problems because we've been walking around in an elevated heel for years, and now all of a sudden the flat shoe is causing shortages of the Achilles and the calf muscle. Knee problems, et cetera. So we want to pay attention and be able to prevent problems for women to tolerate and enjoy heels.
So, Dr. Bob, is it too late for somebody like me who wore high heels to work every single day with beautiful, straight, what we call today, pencil skirts when I was slim enough to wear them back in the 70s and 80s, would never think of going out of the house without not super high heels, not the blank blank, blank, blank. There are words for them I don't want to use on the show because we are polite. But maybe 3-inch heels every day. I love them. They were comfortable then. The problems didn't set in until later. Is there any hope for somebody like me, Bob, or have
it must
I really?
Be because you, it must be. You told me you were out ballroom dancing, that you were doing well.
So ballroom
you must be doing. Yes, you must be doing well. But there is hope with education, which is if we pay attention to some variety. If we strengthen these areas, if we see that somebody, most foot types are inherited, so if we're a flat-footed individual or high arches, we might see the fit in the high heel is a lot different, a lot more challenging. So if we pay attention to keeping nail problems at a minimal, keeping corns and calluses at a minimal, paying attention to pedicures, then we might see, I mean, when you watch Dancing with the Stars and you're watching these superstars dance at that kind of level with those high heels, it's really, really amazing. Don't think they don't pay for it.
I'm sure
really.
They do.
With their knees and back and structures. And we do have orthotics that work great in dress shoes. So sometimes we'll see that that's a godsend. But the positive approach is with some good education, you know, go to sportsdoctorradio.com or your website and read that article because it's about accepting the challenge. You can train for heels. It's a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek. But
yes.
You absolutely can make a positive difference, and you might even be lighter on your feet, Bonnie. Who knows?
Oh, that would be fun. And by the way, I dance in very low heels. They are open back and mostly open toe, and they're a casual type of a dance shoe with plenty of straps, and they have to be super comfortable because when I go ballroom dancing, Dr. Bob, it's for 2 or 3 hours at a time, and I rarely
sit down. Yes, you're an athlete.
I'm going out to kickboxing tonight after the show. What can I tell you? Dr. Bob, I know we've only borrowed you from a busy schedule, but I'm going to open the line now for Mark and Kathy Brown from Citicize. And here they are. Mark and Kathy Brown, say hi to Dr. Bob.
Hello,
hi,
Dr. Bob.
Hello, Andy.
Hi, you guys. A pleasure to meet you.
And you as well.
And the whole idea of the type of exercising things you're talking about is very exciting. It's been very popular with senior citizens for a long, long time. Makes big sense.
Well,
it
thank
does.
You very
and
much
I want
to
Kathy great. Told me before the show, Dr. Bob, that she was either born in high heels or born to wear them.
Yes,
Kathy, do you have any questions for Dr. Bob before he has to go back to his patient?
Yes, Dr. Bob, I have a question. Like I said, I was born to wear high heels, and I wear them constantly, even at nighttime until I go to bed. When I try to wear flat shoes, my feet hurt after 2 hours. So I have to put my heels back on.
Plus,
yes.
She runs about 5 miles a day. She's trained to do this stuff.
See, exactly.
Okay. So, Dr. Bob, any remedial work for Kathy?
Yes. Again, knowing your foot type, Kathy, makes a lot of sense. If you had pronated feet, we would see that's one of the reasons why some structural control would make sense. But if you get on a good rubber band program and work those feet and ankles, and you
That's
do some
what I do,
strengthening. Okay. Then I would vary the heel heights because you might see that you are absolutely an example of somebody who has shortened that leg muscle. So talk to your hubby here. Good soft tissue, good massage, good stretching.
Like
continue
that.
To strengthen those areas, and then get your foot type identified. We might put you into dress orthotics and make a huge difference in your capability of wearing a flat shoe, and especially with your running shoes, because if this gets in the way of your running, you're not going to be a happy gal.
Bob, I want to ask you before you go, and I know you have to run, and I have to start focusing on their book, Citicize, which has great information, as you mentioned. What would you say to me and Kathy in terms of if we were going to get orthotics for our high heels, or are we going to get them for our flats? Because I have the same problem she does, difficulty wearing
ideally,
flats.
Ideally, we're putting
like?
Somebody...
What is an orthotic for a dress shoe? I don't even know what it is.
Orthotic for a dress shoe might be the same thing I put in figure skates, and I've been putting orthotics in figure skates for 4 decades, including the Olympic champion Evan Lysacek from my neck of the woods. So a device for a dress shoe might be Velcroed in, might be very, very narrow and shallow, but it's a compromise. So usually we're including big time the optimum orthotic that would go in a sneaker, that would replace
mm-hmm.
your insole, that you might wear. With the guys, he might wear the same orthotic to a wedding that he goes running 10 miles a day, and with a woman, we can't. But the question is, would you benefit? So identifying your foot type and knowing what type of structure, what your history is, can really make a difference in getting you into something comfortable that can prevent trouble.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Bob. You're going to drop off,
Bonnie,
I know.
It's been a pleasure. I hope to kick off some of your shows in the future like we've talked about, and thank
we'll
you
get
so
you back
much.
Here. Not a problem. I'm going to go. You can drop, and I'm going to welcome officially Mark and Kathy Brown, and I have your book in front of me, Sit Asize, Just Sit and Get Fit. So thanks, Dr. Bob, and we'll talk
thank
again.
Thank you very much.
Soon.
Have a
okay.
great show.
Bye-bye. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Mark and Kathy, thanks for letting
yeah.
Bob
yeah.
go first. I appreciate that very much. So where are you calling from today?
We're calling from North Canton, Ohio, right above the Football Hall of Fame city.
All right. So let's talk about Citicize. Your book does not have the exercises in it, which I found out because I read it cover to cover, but it talks about what are we eating now and what are we doing and why aren't we
right.
mobile and flexible like we used to be and what has happened to in our age of sitting down for work versus early years when people had to do something physical and be up on their feet. And let me read some of the chapters here. Sitting disease, the new epidemic, that was very telling to me. Sitting disease, sit in the chair, become the chair. Oh, my goodness. Sitting disease, what a pain in the, couple of B words fit in there. Back, butt, fit in. Sitting disease, my legs are killing me. The sitting disease and the cure is sit aside. So how did you come up with the idea of looking into the history of why we're sitting and not exercising our bodies enough at all the problems? Talk to me. Who wants to go first, Mark or Kathy?
I'll go first, Bonnie, and then Kathy can chime in a little bit later.
Sure. Go ahead, Mark.
I'll try to get something in edgewise anyway. But anyway, what happened, Bonnie, is that we read an article said by 2015, 75% of all Americans were going to be overweight. And again, being personal trainers, master level and certified personal trainers, we wanted to find out why that was going to happen. So we started doing research, and we went to different places, and we worked actually in several different environments to find out. We worked in a real hard environment. Then we went to a place, a call center, where a lot of people work in a real easy environment. We found out some very interesting things about the easy environment because, well, Kathy's going to tell you about this one thing that happened there real quickly, and then we'll come back to it, okay? But go ahead, tell them, Kathy.
Well, when I went to the call center, like I said, a while back I used to work for a company that I sat down, but I was much younger, so I didn't really gain the weight. But when I went to the call center, it was like I worked 2 months. Within that 2 months, I gained 10 pounds.
It was like the freshman 15. Only a call.
No kidding. No
yes,
kidding. Seriously. Wow.
And I guess I was used to not sitting down a lot for the last, we've been married 23 years,
right.
So it was like I retired from my one job, and I had been retired for about 10 years. So I went to this call center, and I told my husband, I said, I'm going to work out every morning before I go to work, and I'm going to pack a lunch because I know when you work in an office, you have a tendency to eat a lot.
And they have
That's
those
right.
candy drawers. They have those
yeah.
candy drawers and all that there, too.
And also,
I know. Been there, done that. Go ahead.
They had cappuccino, coffee makers, everything. I mean, you know, as long as you sit there and do your job, they want to make you happy. Well, what happened was I noticed – I would come home, and next day I put on something that was feeling tighter. And I told my husband, I'm like, you know, I don't understand this because I'm doing the same thing, but my clothes seem to be getting tighter on me, but I didn't get on the scale.
Well, you know what I told her, though? I said, you know, the cleaners must be shrinking your clothes. I wasn't doing that.
Oh, you're such a good husband, Mark, such a good husband. I appreciate the yes, yes. Okay, Kathy, did you buy that or not? Did you know something else was going on?
I didn't buy it.
Good girl.
So at work, what I did was I started exercising. I got up out of my chair. I had the headphones on so I could take my calls, but I couldn't stand sitting no longer. So what I did was I started standing up, doing different movements. So a lot of the people around me that started working there, they noticed they had started gaining weight too. And so anyway, they said, Kathy, what are you doing? I says, I can't stand sitting. I have to get up and move. So I started doing these exercises. They started doing these exercises. So it was like once I quit to take on another project, they were like, Kathy, wait a minute. What are we going to do? You know, you're leaving. You know, I says, do what I
They lost their fearless leader.
I said, do
yep.
what I trained you to do, and it'll help you keep the weight off.
But, Bonnie, one thing we found out is when you idly sit, what happens is your body, it begins to, even if you're just sitting on your chair without doing anything at all, extra eating anything, you start to gain weight in your buttocks and your hips and in your thighs just from just sitting. Doesn't have anything to do with you eating it or anything. And that really amazed us. Yeah, we started researching. And that really amazed us.
Especially, Bunny, when I was coming home and Mark was looking at me, he could tell I was gaining weight. So he gets on the computer and starts doing all this research to try to find out what happened to me.
Well, I wasn't
and you know what
tell
they
her.
Say? Necessity is the mother of invention, or necessity is the reason a husband starts to go look for reasons.
That is, Bonnie.
Can't figure what happened to his wife, right? Where's
You're exactly
my beautiful
right.
Kathy? Where's my beautiful Kathy? I want to tell everybody, first of all, to go to your website so they can see pictures of both of you and hear a little more about you. But let's continue while I'm – which website do you want people to go to, by the way, Mark? Is it the
www.sitasize.com.
Let me spell that, S-I-T, as in sit, like I am sitting down, S-I-T, the letter A, and C-I-S-E, like the last part of the word exercise. So instead of E-X-E-R, it's S-I-T-A-C-I-S-E.com, and you'll see all kinds of pictures and videos. So go ahead. So what did you decide to do about this? We have the problem. What was the solution? Mark or Kathy, who wants to go?
Well, what else we found out, Bonnie, especially in terms of dealing with the health was that not only did it cause you to have all these problems in terms of gaining weight, just idle sitting, but also it caused a lot of problems in terms of dealing with cancer, in terms of dealing with diabetes, heart disease, obesity. Metabolic syndrome, which is a combination of those diseases, was one of the things that was increased by almost 66%. And that amazed me because I'm thinking, you know, as a personal trainer, as long as you exercise and work out, you can do whatever you want to do. You get that hour, hour and a half in, and you'll be fine. But that wasn't the case. And that's what we've learned about dealing with idle sitting. Very dangerous thing. And the other part about it, most people were unaware of the fact that idle sitting was causing these problems. We were there at the call center one day, and a woman who was working there, she had a heart attack while we were right there in the call center. Ambulance came and picked her up. But people don't realize because of idle sitting, all these problems can exist, Bonnie.
So when you decided to do something about it for the people who weren't going to be the beneficiaries of Kathy physically being there on site at the call center anymore, did you decide, I know you have a chart of exercises and you sent me a PDF with a couple of pictures of Kathy demonstrating some of the exercises. So how did you go about designing the exercises? I know they're easy, I know they're convenient, but I also know doing them the right way is very important, and that's something we're going to be discussing with Esther Gokhale when she comes on in about 12 or 13 minutes or so, about doing things the right way. Form matters. Repetitions or whatever it is matters. So how did you come up with, is there an order to the exercise? And Mark, I'd like you to take us through a couple of samples, if you would, please, because you know when I host the radio, I really try to sit down. It's just the thing I do. So I can do them with you. So why don't you take me through a couple? And how did you put together the sequence of the exercises? Let's start there.
Well, what we wanted to make sure of, Bonnie, is that we were able to be able to interrupt idle sitting because that was the thing that was causing the problem. So we had to interrupt idle sitting to prevent the problem from happening. So what we did, first of all, was design some movements that are going to get you up out of that chair. If you notice, the one I sent you shows us doing some chair squats. It's very simple chair squats. But what that does, it activates your body, and it causes you to be able to utilize an enzyme in your body called lipase, which is a fat-burning enzyme that's activated when you stand up or when you move. When you sit down, that same fat-burning enzyme is not activated. So we wanted to make sure that you engage that particular process so now you're able to be able to burn up a lot of different calories, a lot of different fat, as well as be able to get healthy and toned and also interrupt the idle sitting so you're not prone toward getting those idle sitting diseases. So the first thing I would tell people to do is just try to do some chair squats. As you're sitting in your chair, just raise up a little bit. Maybe about 4 or 5 inches, and go back down to your seat. You know, raise up now the next time, and as you go up a little higher, you squeeze real tight, squeeze your buttocks, your gluteus medius, maximus, and minimus real tight.
Mm-hmm.
So now you can go back down. Do you feel that, Bunny?
I do, but I have a question for you. I know everybody wants to know. I can hear them. I can hear the thousands of listeners out there right now saying, how much time is this going to take? How often do I have to do it? Is this going to interrupt my job? Is it going to interrupt my reading period if I'm taking a rest from my work? What does this require me to do in order to be effective? So let's start there, Mark or Kathy. How much time does this take, and what is the time investment goal of Sitasize, please?
Well, the beauty of Sitasize is that you don't have to have any particular time that you do it. What we want you to try to do, though, is to make sure you do at least 30 seconds every 5 to 6 minutes. And that's not a lot if you think about it. 30 seconds of some type of movement, whether it's an upper body movement or a lower body movement. We want you to preferably do a lower body movement, again, to interrupt that sitting, but then we want you to do upper body movement to also be able to get toned as you're doing this particular thing. You can do upper body flies. You can do water. You know, everybody takes water bottles to work now, so we can do water bottle flies while we're there. And, again, if you think about it, Bunny, every 5 or 6 minutes doing 30 seconds is not really a lot of activity.
No, but it's not. It sounds like 30 seconds is nothing. So the goal is then, so every hour, if you do 30 seconds every 6 minutes you do 30 seconds, there's 10 sets of 6 minutes in an hour. So 10 times 30 seconds means you will have done a total of 5 minutes of exercise out of every hour if you do it consistently. Is that about right?
And yes, and then by the end of the day, if it's an 8-hour shift, you have gotten in 40 minutes of exercise.
I like that. See, that's the number I was going for. Yes, that's the number I was going for. Now, do you have to tell everybody what you're doing? I mean, if I'm sitting there with water bottles over my head doing these flies and I'm lifting myself up and down to do, you know, some people in offices today, Mark and Kathy, some offices don't have full partitions so people can see you. If you're tall, your head will go up over the partition when you're doing the lifts or the squats off the chair. So what do you tell people? Hey, join me. This is a citizen's office.
What I did was, you know, we have partitions, but they saw me standing up. They saw me doing different movements, and they asked me what was I doing. And I told them that I was doing exercise. And, you know, and I was doing it as a toning and to be fit. And, like even with water bottles, or even if you don't have water bottles, just use your own muscles, you know. And
Isometrics.
Think of it as having
I want to ask you another question to Mark and Kathy. I know that chair exercise has become very popular for seniors, people who are sedentary because of illness or because of atrophy of muscles or who really don't get around that much anymore. And I, on my television show many years ago, we had a beautiful young fitness trainer who came on and showed how to exercise with weights, without weights, in your chair, and she did a great job demonstrating. So I'm familiar a little bit, but that was a workout from the chair for maybe 15 to 30 minutes. You're saying you don't have to do a consistent workout. If you spread it out over time, you can do 40 minutes a day without leaving the office, and you can still accomplish a good workout. So would you recommend this for seniors who don't want to do 15 or 20 minutes, Mark?
Well, you know, the great thing about it is that anybody can do it. We have kids, our youngest student's 3 years old. Our oldest student was in a nursing home about 78 years old. So, again, that's the beauty of sit-asides. It can be tailor-made to anybody. The thing is, we want to make sure you interrupt sitting. You know, one of the research studies that we utilized was from NASA and also from astronaut John Glenn. Remember him?
Of course.
Okay, and he was 77 years old when he went into space, but the beauty of it is when they checked out all the guys when they came back from space to check them out physically, they found out that he was right in the middle physically of all the other astronauts. He was the oldest one there. You know,
wow.
So again, one of the things about it, one of the things he was doing, he was doing some chair movements, also he was doing some power walking, things of that nature. But what it showed is that it doesn't matter so much what age you are, it's how you let your body age that counts. So you have to make sure that you interrupt your sitting, you make sure that you don't let your body, even though you're getting older, you don't let your age control what your body does. Let your body control what your age does.
I like that. Now, you know, the word of advice has been to people like me who work on a computer all day long, Mark and Kathy, for years, the advice was you need to get up at least once every 30 minutes and do something. Walk around, stretch, do jumping jacks, turn on an exercise tape, walk in the other room, take a walk outside. But every 30 minutes or every 60 minutes or every 90 minutes, get up out of the damn chair and do something. So what you're saying is you don't have to really leave the chair. You don't have to leave the office. You can do a little bit every 5 or 6 minutes all day long and accomplish the equivalent of a workout and interrupt. It sounds to me like the key here is interrupting the sitting syndrome, not just walk away from it, but interrupt it on a regular basis. Is that really the point here, Mark?
Well, see, the other part to it that was, and that's exactly right, Bunny, but the other part really amazing is that researchers in inactivity physiology found out that even if you exercise for 90 minutes a day, but if you sit for six or more accumulative, not consecutive, but accumulative hours in the day, you still increase your risk of getting heart disease by 54%. Even if you're in shape, and even if you've got a six-pack, you still increase that risk. And what they found out, there's a heart disease gene that's activated when you sit, but it's deactivated when you stand up and move around. So that's one of the things we have to do, too, is make sure we engage gravity and we disengage that chair so now we're able to be able to prevent these diseases, because that's the big thing. Sit-a-size is really a health program that helps you get fit, but we want to make sure you're alive so you can enjoy the benefits of being fit.
Absolutely. Now, is this something that people can design on their own? Do they need your chart? How does that work? Are they going to go to your website, sitasize.com, and buy the chart, and then they'll have instructions on how to do everything in the right order and the right amount? How does it work, Mark?
Well, the nice thing about it is a 70-page booklet, and it's called the Citicize 30-Second Movement and Exercise Chart Booklet, and it's the most it's the fastest workout in the world. You only got to do 30 seconds every 5-6 minutes.
Wow.
Some people are only doing it 30 seconds every 10 minutes. But you get a better benefit if you do it every 5 minutes or 6 minutes, because it allows you to be able to burn a lot of calories very quickly and easily without even having to worry about sweating. You know, it's based upon what's called non-exercise activity thermogenesis as well. And whenever I heard that non-exercise activity, that made me, you know, feel pretty good. Here's a way I can get some activity in without having to exercise.
Without having any activity. Yes, it's the inactivity activity. Or
exactly.
It's the active inactivity. It's you're cutting
go.
The inactivity. Yeah.
Go to our website, and you would get our 70-page booklet. It only costs, I think, it's $6.99 on download. You can download it right to your PC, your Kindle, your cell phone, anything, and you get it right there. Or you can order it. We're an affiliate of Amazon.com, so all our products are produced by them, so you can get it right through there as well.
Very nice. But before we bring on Esther Goclay in just about, Esther, I'm putting you on warning. We'll pick you up in about a minute to a minute and a half, so you'll be ready. I'll turn on your mic. I have to mention that Kathy Brown, you must be a sister of, Darlene Love, a young Darlene Love. Have you been told that before? Yes?
I don't know her.
Darlene Love, the actress, she's in all of the Mel Gibson movies, and she's Glover's wife. And
okay,
she's
I know who you're talking about.
A major rock and roll singer from back in the day. I've seen her perform
live. Okay, I know her now. I know
go
her now.
Go look up Darlene Love, for goodness sake. L-O-V-E, just like it sounds. She's beautiful. You could be her daughter. Okay, not her sister.
Well, you know, I'm going to embarrass Kathy right now. You know Kathy is going to be 58 in December.
Next month.
It's not nice to lie about your age, Kathy Brown. Don't tell me you're almost 60, honey. There's no way. I'm looking at a beautiful,
60,
young, vital woman.
You know
no
what?
Way.
I'm going through the change of life, and that's another thing about Citicize. Believe me, women, it really helps.
Yeah, okay. Believe
because,
me.
Because when you go through different things in life, you know, you get that middle spread. You know, your stomach, all of that. And
I know, honey. Been there, done that a long time ago.
Okay, so for those who are going through it, Citicize help you with that.
Well, good
like
to know. That's an extra benefit for men and for their wives or girlfriends if the men are going through it with you, right? You know
kids?
It's time for us to – I want to thank both of you very much. You're not going away. You're staying with me for the rest of the show. We're going to welcome on the count of three – I'm turning her mic on in 10 seconds. On the count of three, we're going to say, welcome Esther Goclay. Okay? You ready, you two of you?
We're ready.
All right? Well, I'm turning on her mic. It's open. Okay, let's go. One, two, three. Welcome Esther. Goclay. We did it. Esther, welcome to the Bonnie, Mark, and Kathy show. How are you, Esther?
I'm doing wonderfully. I'm prancing around my kitchen listening to these two mix. It's so energizing. I don't even have to sit and exercise. I'm getting up and exercising listening
Excellent.
To their rhythm.
Hey, if it motivated you, that's a good thing. Esther, do you have any questions or comments for Mark and Kathy? I know you're sort of in the same field. They're just trying to help people be healthier, and that's really what your goal is, your mission as well. Any questions or comments on Citicize or anything they said, anything you'd like to add or comment on? Esther, please go ahead.
Well, do you ever find that some people, you know, are kind of thinking deeply about a problem or, you know, a computer program they're trying to put together, and they have to fully focus on what they're doing so that there's some resistance to doing your program?
Well, I tell you what, every time we talk to people and once we explain to them about the risk of idle sitting, they seem to realize that it's a lot more beneficial to them to at least interrupt it every, you know, 5-10 minutes as opposed to dealing with the consequences of it. You know, because one thing about idle sitting, it causes a disease called DVT, or deep vein thrombosis, which the only way for you to prevent that is to be able to move your calf muscle so that you can get that blood circulating through your veins. So we explained that to him and said, oh, okay, no wonder my leg's been feeling kind of funny and tingling, you know. So we explain that, and it stops that, and it helps them. So no, we don't really find a lot of resistance. Our big problem is dealing with people who they say, number one, I don't have enough time to work out, and number two, the workouts are too hard. So that's our big problem, and that's one of the benefits of Citicize. It's easy to do, and you can do it anywhere, at any time.
Very good. Thank you, Mark and Kathy. Now, I'm not going to mute you two. I'm going to keep you on live, and I'm going to talk to Esther now for the next 15, 20 minutes, and then I'll bring you in toward the end of her segment and ask you if you have any comments for her. Then all of you together are going to help me close the show with a big mwah kiss we're going to send out to the world, and I'll give you instructions later, but you're going to need to really, really be in good shape for that, Mark and Kathy, and I know you are.
Thank you.
So thank you.
We'll be getting ready.
Okay, rest. Get that chest all puffed up to put all that air in so we can do a big mwah shout-out. So Esther Gokhale, thank you so much, and I have to do a shout-out to a very nice man named Kevin Renner, who was on this show a couple of months ago, early in the year, and he referred you to me. So thank you, Kevin Renner, for this lovely introduction to Esther. Esther, let me just read a little bio about you, and then we'll start talking. Esther Gokhale has been involved in integrative therapies all her life. As a young girl growing up in India, she helped her mother, an RN, registered nurse, treat abandoned babies waiting to be adopted. This early interest led Esther to study biochemistry at Harvard and Princeton and later study acupuncture at the San Francisco School of Oriental Medicine. Esther suffered crippling back pain during her first pregnancy and had unsuccessful back surgery, and she launched a lifelong crusade to find a solution to back pain. Her studies at the APLOM Institute in Paris and years of research in Burkina Faso, India, Portugal, and elsewhere led her to develop the Gokhale method, which she's been teaching at her Palo Alto, California Wellness Center for the past 15 years. And you can go to egwellness.com for her website. Esther Gokhale, formally and informally, welcome to Read My Lips. How are you, Esther? I hope you're in good shape and your back is not hurting you tonight. Tell me.
It never hurts me. It's
good.
Such a wonderful thing.
It wasn't always that way. I know. You suffered. You suffered a lot.
I did.
So I have to tell everybody the name of your book is 8 Steps to a Pain-Free Back, Remember When It Didn't Hurt. Very, very important. But Esther, as I said in the introduction to the show, your book is so beautiful. I almost want to tell people to buy it as a Christmas gift because it's a beautiful coffee table book in addition to a treatment for back pain. So,
you know, we saw that a lot of people were gifting it, and we created a clam pack where people buy 5 and then they get 5 free because, you know, people want to give it around to their relatives and friends.
How lovely. So talk to me. What is the basis for your Gokhale method? A method to me means a system. It means some sequence. It means some background information that goes into the thought behind a practice, something you're going to learn to do. So tell me, how did you come up with these 8 steps? We don't have time to go through all 8, but how did you come up with it, and what is the basis for what you discovered, and how much is it helping people? Esther, please go ahead.
Yeah, so the basis is a recognition that there is a natural posture for people. There is a best way to sit and bend and stand and walk, and that we in modern society have forgotten how. But if we go back in time when people didn't have so much back pain, if we go to other cultures where they have no degenerative disc disease and repetitive stress injuries and such, and if we look at young children the world over, then we see these common elements. You know, I call it a ducky butt sometimes when I'm teaching kids, a ducky butt, not a tucky butt, right? Their tails are out. If you can imagine a tail, it would be out behind you. And then the lumbar area is not super curved as we have come to believe as natural. It's actually quite elongated and stacked and tall. And there are a whole bunch of characteristics like this that you see in all these populations and that, in my experience, correlates with really good health. And not only freedom from pain, but also good circulation, good energy, good appearance, and so on. So the Gokhale method helps people get back to that. And we use everyday activities as the exercises and the therapy, if you will, to help you restructure your body. You know, so in the process of lying down, you know, there is an opportunity to elongate your back. You're kind of using your back, your bed as a traction device. While you're walking, every step you take could be a glute squeeze and a calf muscle stretch and a psoas stretch. But most people walk in ways they kind of fall forward, stick their leg out to break their fall, and they don't get any of those benefits. You know, so what I help people do, and me and my whole team of teachers, we now teach our foundations course all over the world. You know, six lessons, and
wonderful.
It's taught, yeah, and so we teach people how to restore their primal posture and get all these benefits instead of damage from their everyday activities like bending and lifting and walking and so on.
Esther, I want to ask you, I want to mention to you, your book is filled with testimonials from people who say they have been helped from the very first session, the very first lesson. How is that possible? If you take somebody who comes to you in their 40s or their 50s, they're maybe a little bent over or like we were talking about with Dr. Bob, they've damaged their legs from, for example, high heels or not the proper footwear for their foot shape, or like Kathy and Mark Brown were saying, they sit too long and they're hunched over in their chair, over their desk, they can't see too well, perhaps they have the wrong eye prescription, wrong contact, so they're toward their computer screen, hunched over all day long, working very hard, really bent over. How do you rectify that in one or two sessions, or can you? Is this a miracle cure? I hate to use that word.
It sounds a little too good to be true, but it really is a fact that in the first lesson, some very important things get taught. Like we teach people how to stretch lie, we call it. So all night long, potentially, your back is getting elongated. You wake up in the morning, you're literally a little taller. And you're
Esther, tell me, how do I do that? I'm down to about 5'1". I used to be 5'1 and a half. I'm no more than 5'1 now.
Well, we've got to get you that half inch back.
Tell me. Give me some instruction here. Now, one of my regular listeners, Laura, is very tall, but I'm not. So how do I get that inch back? I want to be tall like my friend Laura. Go ahead.
All right. I'm going to give you instructions. You bend your knees, and you're lying on your back. You prop your upper body onto your elbows.
Okay.
And now you dig your elbows into the bed and down towards your feet, and you put one vertebra down on the bed at a time. Then each one you put far away from the previous one so that you're adding length as you unroll your back onto the bed. You with me?
Yeah, I am.
And then you can also elongate the back of your neck in a similar fashion. You can kind of send your head behind your skull and gently tug on your hair. Allow your chin to slightly angle down. And now you've got extra length in your back, in your neck. There are a few other details I'll refer people to the book for, but the idea is that you can use your bed, you've transformed your bed into a kind of traction unit. And
interesting. Esther, how many repetitions would I need to do? I like that, putting your vertebra down. Just one?
You just set yourself that way, and then you go to sleep.
Every night I would do that. Put my elbows down, lift my back up, and put my spine down one vertebrae at a time, stretching out as I go, and then just go to sleep. That's it?
And then you're a little stretched out all night. So, you know, that's one piece. It's a very valuable piece, and it's a beginning.
I like that.
And now, we have a similar thing for sitting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you are going to be sitting, and most people have to sit for some part of their lives, you know, when you're commuting, when you're sitting at certain kinds of desks and so on, then there are ways to make sitting more healthy, you know. And all those research studies have been done on people sitting the way people sit in our culture, which is what I call slump sitting. You know,
okay.
And so instead we teach them the first lesson includes stretch sitting. And so you can use the backrest of a chair and you can add a little device. You know, it could be a towel even. And I've also created a stretch sit cushion, which works extremely well for this. And I've even created a chair. We call it the pain-free chair. And it has these little sticky nubs built into the back. So what the idea is, you come away from the back, whether it's the nubs on the chair or the cushion or just a towel behind you, and you elongate your back. And the way you do that is you curve your rib cage kind of forward, almost like you're doing a mini crunch. And
okay.
then you use your arms, and you further lift the top of you away from the bottom of you. So you're making yourself a little taller while still kind of crunching forward a bit. So your back has become extra tall, and now you glue your back to the nubs or to the towel or whatever you have behind you that's going to
mm-hmm.
grip you and hold you up, kind of, in part.
Okay,
and then
you
relax.
I see it here. You unroll yourself
against
I'm
the backrest.
I'm looking at stretch sitting in the book. I'm on page 34. I think that's you in figure 1-3. And
it
you say,
is.
Beautiful, and you are a beautiful lady. Stretch sitting lengthens the long muscles of the back in an action similar to relaxing a bow. Stretch sitting also decompresses the discs, allowing them to heal and preventing further damage. And you show a ladder, and you show the spine and the bow. Very nice. Esther, how long did it take you to develop this method? Because you suffered for years and years with back problems. So I know you're a beneficiary as well, but how long did it take you to come up with the method to the point where you could actually put it together and patent it and call it a method? What was that development process for you?
You know, it's not, didn't happen, there wasn't a point, it developed, you know. So I was an acupuncturist seeing a lot of people with back problems and knee problems and such. And so they were my natural guinea pig group, you know, after I figured out how to help myself. Because, you know, I had surgery and then I had failed surgery, right, L5-S1 disc herniation, and they wanted to go in there again. And none of the standard things had worked, physical therapy and exercises and massage and acupuncture and chiropractic. And here I was with a huge herniation, and the pain was unbelievable, like an ice pick in your butt, you know. And I couldn't sleep for more than 2 hours at night. I had to get up. My back was in spasm. I would have to walk around the block. It was miserable. And so I had to find, you know, surgery had failed as well. And so I was forced to look outside the box. And, you know, the long story short, the techniques I now teach got me out of pain. I never needed the second back surgery. And it's been over 20 years. I've not had a back pain, not a back ache, not a back twinge, nothing, zero.
How wonderful. How wonderful.
I know.
Esther, I have to ask you, who did the magnificent photography in your book? Not only do you have pictures of natives in countries around the world, but you have some of the most beautiful baby pictures. I'm looking at the most gorgeous baby on page, what am I looking at?
My third baby who wasn't supposed to be born.
You were supposed to have any more kids. Oh, page 55 is the most gorgeous baby, and is it your youngest daughter? Okay, and
yep.
She is sleeping on her back with her arms stretched out to the side, her face. I have to show this to my mom. She's just going to melt. With her face to the side in complete peace and quiet, lying on a bed, and she's just stretched out and happy. Are most babies who are healthy, Esther, are they born with naturally correct posture and we ruin it for them? Is that what happened? Okay.
I'm afraid that's what I found. You know, we are born with really excellent structure and design, but no user's manual. And then, you know,
we screw it up.
To put our babies into these horribly designed car seats and terrible strollers, and there begins the whole process of learning to sit really badly, which is why I think sitting comes out looking so bad. Because, you know, if you go back in time, you go to these cultures where they're doing basket weaving and they're, you know, people sat for extended periods, and I don't think it was a problem. I think it's the way we sit. So I love teaching people the stretch sitting technique and also stack sitting is another one. You know, it's easy to learn. It's a step-by-step process. But it's not rocket science.
No, it looks very easy and progressive. Now, I just want to talk about the role of fashion. You make a point of saying, I'm looking at page 16, you say French fashion magazines from the 1920s and later show slouching as chic. And then you show a Mies van der Rohe chair, very gorgeous designer chair. I think we've all seen something like this in offices, in waiting rooms. First exhibited at the World's Fair in Barcelona in 1929, so it's the same era as the French fashion pictures you include, reflects and perpetuates the trend of its day, forging a tucked pelvis in the name of casual comfort. So why is this chair so, I'll use the word evil, Esther, what is it making us do?
It's making us tuck the pelvis, and once you tuck the pelvis, then the rest is thrown off. You know, the pelvis is like your foundation, and if you sit on your tail, basically, then your head and your shoulders are going to slump forward, your circulation is going to be awful, and you're not going to breathe well, digest well, and, you know, you're going to... And then it's not fair to blame sitting, really. It's the way people sit, you know. So what they need to learn is to put their tails out behind them when they sit. And the Mies van der Rohe chair doesn't encourage that. It makes you tuck.
Well, what's interesting to me also is on the page before in your beautiful book, Esther Gokhale, on page 15, you show some pictures from, looking here, I'm trying to, Figaro Illustre, and you say, French fashion magazines before World War I depict healthy posture. So we went from pre-World War I healthy to 1920s as slouching chic where posture was not proper.
Yep.
My goodness, so fashion has indicated, did fashion follow health or did health follow fashion? I'm not sure I said that right, but the point is, did fashion show this is the way we'd like you to look so the clothes look better on you, or was fashion saying,
fashion,
well, this is the way people stand?
Yeah, no. I think in this respect they put the stake out ahead of where people were, and then the clothing was designed that way, and then people fit the clothing over time. And to this day, the runway models are still kind of slinking around, you know, with their behinds in front of them. And I always tell my students, you know, it's called a behind for a reason. You know, it's meant to be out behind you.
Very well put. I want to, Mark and Kathy Brown are still with us, and I promised I'd bring them in, and their mic is still open. Mark and Kathy, one or both, any comments for Esther Gokhale on, now you're talking about sitting in the chair and doing exercise and not being sedentary. Esther's talking about how you sit in the chair. So very interesting. I happen to coincidentally have you both on the show together. I never put guests on by similar topic. It's very, very rare on this show. But I can find a thread with anybody else. So it just happens to be that you're all my guests tonight are on health. So Mark and Kathy Brown, any comments, questions for Esther on the posture, on the fashions of the day that were against the natural design of our backs? Go ahead, Mark, Kathy.
Well, I'll tell you what. We worked with a ergonomist called Gary Allred down at Ohio State, Dr. Gary Allred. And one of the things he was saying was a lot similar to what she's saying. You know, chairs just aren't designed to help you to be able to have a healthy back. Also, I was in a car wreck about 7 years ago, and I had L4, L5 disc herniation. And I'm going to tell you what, listening to the information she has would have helped me a lot way back then. She's a very informative lady. I didn't have to get an operation.
Mark, you can talk directly to Esther. She's on the line. So, Esther, you're a very informative. Tell Esther to her face. Go ahead.
Yeah, but, you know, this is very good information. And like I said, you know, I wish I had known it back then because I had to go through a lot of trial and error myself to deal with my back. I avoided surgery, went to Cleveland Clinic, went to the best doctor in the world, but I was able to avoid surgery with doing something very simple and old-fashioned that was just old-fashioned traction, you know. Mm. So, again, I can appreciate where she's coming from in terms of what she's talking about, utilizing, you know, some of these techniques she's doing to be able to make your back healthy.
Esther, any comments for Mark? I know you have similar back pain, so what do you think?
You know, we are not alone. There are so many people out there. 85% of the population is with us and having back pain, serious enough to go to a doctor at some point. So, you know, we need all the help we can get trying to train people to improve themselves in this department.
You're doing
Esther,
a great job.
She is. Esther, who did the photography? Are these your photos of your world travel?
Most of them are my photographs, yes, from when I traveled.
Just gorgeous. You have full-color pictures of people from all over the world in the most beautiful natural poses, a mother holding her baby, and you show how she's properly holding the baby in the crook of her arm, using her arm to balance the child,
I remember watching her, and it's just captivating, you know. It's just your eyes just it's hard to peel yourself away from it. It's just so beautiful when someone has good structure and movement.
Very. And you know, Esther, we don't really think we see pictures of elders still in the fields with the rice paddies in Asia and people on what do we call pottery wheels in very primitive cultures making things they're going to sell, somebody's going to sell to a tourist for God knows how little money, and somebody will take the markup along the way when it gets here, we know that. But we see them and they're not going home and complaining, oy, my back, you wouldn't believe what happened to me today at the pottery wheel. They're going home and they're doing their thing. They don't have that pain, so they still have the natural curve. They still have the proper structure. Is that what you've observed, Esther?
It's true, but what I have to begin reporting is that this is rapidly disappearing, you know, as people become industrialized in more and more of the world.
Yes.
Some of these ways are getting forgotten. It's very sad, you know, because when people adopt our culture, they often adopt the worst parts of it, you know.
That's true.
The Coke, and they go for the cigarettes, and they go for all the poor posture habits, too.
And the high heels and the designer chairs. On that note, Esther, I'm going to start with you and the what's next for you, because we have 4 minutes left to the show, and I need a minute to close. So, Esther, I'll give
Ronnie,
you a minute.
Can I ask Esther a question
first? Yeah, sure.
First?
Go ahead, Kathy.
When I was working at the call center, I developed cacodynia. Is there any way that you could prevent that?
I will have to talk with you more in detail. So
I'll put you two together by email after the show.
I'll
put you together. So thank you. Esther, quickly, what's next for you? Where are you going? A new book coming out? Are you doing a book tour? Talk to me. I'll give you a minute. Go ahead.
I am training teachers who are teaching my course all over the world, and so we're getting the word out and being able to satisfy demand for instruction in this. I've just developed a child's chair because I think children's furniture is the worst. So in addition to my usual office chair, which is doing extremely well, people love it, there's going to be a child's chair. I'm working on all kinds of different ways of measuring posture and tracking posture. And so that's very exciting, that exploration.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Esther, I didn't give your website. I have to do that before we go to Martin Cathy. Martin
actually,
Cathy, get ready for...
different than what you mentioned.
What would you like us to go to? Would you want us to go to GoClay Method?
Yes.
GoClayMethod.com. Okay, here it is. So it's GoKHALEMethod.com. So it's GoClay, but it looks like Gok, G-O-K, Hale, H-A-L-E, Method, M-E-T-H-O-D.com. I'll spell it one more time. G-O-K. HALEMETHOD.com. There's a beautiful picture of Esther there. It's Go Clay Method, spelled completely different from the way it sounds. Thank you, Esther, for correcting me there. Now, Mark and Kathy Brown, what's next for you? Quickly, I can give you just a minute.
Well, we're going to get ready to do some broadcasts for TBN. We've been working with them to do some health and fitness broadcasts, so they're blessed us to be able to do those, and they're going to be circulated all over the world. Also, we have some other things that we really can't divulge because, you know, how they say if you divulge them, then you jinx them. But in the near future, you see a lot of stuff about our programs very soon because we thank God that we've been blessed to make some good associations, and there are a lot better people than what we deserve to be with.
Oh, I don't think so. You're good people. Stop that now. So we're going to go to SITACISE, S-I-T-A-C-I-S-E. Guess what? We're a minute and a half from the end of the show. I'm going to put the music on when we get to 30 more seconds, actually 28 more seconds. I'm going to put the music on. Now, Mark and Kathy Brown, when I tell you to, you're going to take a deep breath, and Esther Goclay, the same thing, and you're all going to help me do a big shout-out to the world for pain-free backs and easier sitting and exercising your little tootsies off so you can all be healthier. So we're going to do a mwah, and we're going to sound like a hive of crazed bees. Hold the mwah as long as you can until I burst out laughing. Then you can stop holding your breath.
Okay,
kids, here we go. I'm putting on the music. I'm going to make it low. Okay, Mark and Kathy and Esther, let's do the big mwah. See if you can last longer than me. Come on. More. Esther, I can't hear you. Get ready. Mwah. Uh-oh. Oh, you're one of the best. One of the best groups ever. I'm Bonnie T. Graham, a.k.a. Radio Red. I had a wonderful time speaking with first Dr. Bob Wild, the sports medicine doctor. Thank you, Dr. Bob. I know you'll listen later. We appreciated your time. Esther Gokhale, thank you so much for joining us. Beautiful book. Thanks for the gift of the book, Mark and Kathy Brown. Great people. Good program, Citicize. Everybody, I'll see you next week right here on Read My Lips. And a shout-out to my beautiful mom. I'll talk to you in about 30 seconds when I'm off the air. I'm off to go kickboxing. Talk to you all next week.
Time.
Thank you.
Mwah. Mwah.
Mwah.
Wait for it.
Thank you to Sarah Jane Theon for the beautiful music. Mwah. Love you all. Radio Red signing off. Bye-bye.